Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And this is the breaking news I was just mentioning with Nicole. A major defeat, a legal blow, a 2x4 against Donald Trump pursuant to a case that still has the possibility of felony charges. We're talking about the special master review of the allegedly stolen documents, stolen allegedly by Donald Trump and his team. Well, an appeals court, that's a high one, is now saying no dice. No special master, no special rule, no special delay for Donald Trump. The three-judge panel, which actually includes, by the way, two people who were appointed to the court by Trump, has basically said there never should have been any such review in the first place. This fortifies the Justice Department probe. Of course, we don't know where that's headed, but this puts it back on a fast track. Attorney General Garland had said through his filings through the prosecutors that they viewed what was the special master initial review as something that would get in the way or even slow down what they view as a very serious national security case. As we've told you before, our system, these courts, the process takes some time. But this is a total and complete victory right now. It is a complete victory for Garland and a complete loss for Donald Trump and his lawyers. The only way any of this could change from this level would be if the Supreme Court intervened to reverse this, which lawyers say, while technically possible, is very unlikely. I want to bring in New York Times columnist Michelle Goldberg immediately as we track the breaking news. Michelle, I was mentioning to Nicole Wallace, this is something that broke late in the day. I want to share with folks a little bit from the opinion and get your response, because there's both a legal side to this and, of course, the wider news is still Donald Trump being a former president facing an open probe about potential violations of national security laws, which are serious. This ruling here says the law is clear. We can't write a rule that would allow the subject of a search warrant, that's Trump, to simply block government investigations after a valid warrant is issued. There's more to it, but that's kind of the headline. Your response to the news.
Well, when the judge, I mean, this was a judge that Trump appointed, the one who appointed the special master. Remember when she did this, there was, I'm not a lawyer, but there was sort of widespread incredulity from lawyers across the political spectrum. It just seemed so far that she was kind of bending over so far backwards to twist the law to serve Donald Trump. And so it seems to me, especially since this was an opinion that was co-authored by Trump-appointed justices, that just reemphasizes, you know, kind of how outrageous her conduct has been throughout this process.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, no one's saying that judges are perfect or infallible, but one of the benefits of the system, we talk a lot about its imperfections, sometimes its failings. I will say one benefit is if you want to have a very wrong outcome last, you have to get more than one judge to sign off on it. So even if you get a judge who is, let's say, completely out of the mainstream of the precedent, or maybe they are being political, maybe they're corrupt. Some judges get thrown off the bench for that. That doesn't last long in the system. And so here you have other people, it doesn't matter who they were appointed by, who look at exactly what you just said, Michelle, and say that initial attempt to sort of rescue and safeguard and protect the subject of a search warrant was completely at odds with American law. I want to read a little more from the ruling here for your reaction, because they say basically they agree with, this is the new ruling, the judges agree with the Justice Department that lower court judge improperly exercised jurisdiction. They thus dismiss the entire proceeding. They say we vacate the original order. This was back in September. And we basically order the lower judge here to dismiss what they had erected, which was a kind of a special review for the benefit of Donald Trump. More widely, what does it tell you about what are, I always say alleged, because we don't have an outcome in the case, but what are very serious alleged pieces of misconduct by Trump, his team, or both regarding national security secrets?
I mean, having not read the decision, I feel like I can't say what it means, because the decision is about, you know, sort of the lower court's behavior as opposed to Trump's behavior. I mean, all this judge is saying is that Donald Trump is subject to the same, or all this ruling is saying, as far as I can tell, is that Donald Trump is subject to the same law as everyone else. And so, you know, I think that that's, I think we all know what would happen to any one of us if we took boxes of national security secrets to a private club so unsecured that, you know, white supremacists that we don't even know can waltz into the premises.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and as I say, that goes exactly to the wider piece, which is you don't necessarily need to be a lawyer or read up on every page of this to understand what's at issue is who stole the documents and why didn't they give them back? And does Donald Trump have fingerprints on both of those? You mentioned what anyone else could get away with. I want to add to our coverage a White House veteran. This is Tommy Vietor from the Obama White House. He's also the co-host of Pod Save America. This is the kind of ruling, I don't know, does this merit an extra pod, a bonus pod, Tommy?
No, we're kind of out of the bonus pod business, I think, for a while.
But we're out of the bonus pod business. I didn't know. But let me ask you Michelle's question. Did you ever walk out of your White House service just ripping a couple extra top secret documents? You ever see anyone do that? Again, there's a law part of this, and then there's a people who work for the government and what is allowed part of this.
Yeah, I would be in jail. If you found these documents in my house, I would be in jail. And you know what? For good reason. Look, I don't know the law, Ari, but like I saw a lot of classified information and there's like classified stuff that's sort of top secret or secret level that is, you know, summaries of reports, analysis, et cetera. And then there's the stuff that Donald Trump had in his basement. I mean, I took one look at the cover sheets in the photo that was released by the FBI and it took me back in time to the days when I would walk across the hall from my office into John Brennan's office, who was the senior advisor for counterterrorism, went on to be the CIA director. Like those are some of the most closely held special access compartments that are secrets that are so secret, they're only close hold to a couple people. You have to be read into those and allowed to see that information. So yeah, that's serious, serious stuff that's just sitting in a basement that, I don't know, now is where Kanye West and other white supremacists seem to hang out every night.
Right, which again speaks to what that facility is. And by their, if you buy their cover story for the other scandal that people get in, Michelle alluded to that, people are allegedly getting in with no clearance, no vetting whatsoever. And so that's a huge problem for the substance of this, which is the men and women who risk their lives for America's national security and whether this president and his team is endangering them. I say his team, Tommy, because that goes to what the special counsel is reviewing. There's a new special counsel appointed by this attorney general to deal with January 6th and this very case we're talking about. It's not coordinated. I'll remind viewers there's no calendar reason other than coincidence that that you have a new special counsel and he gets this shot in the arm. But I'm curious what you think with your government experience, Tommy, about this, because that investigation has to go further to figure out, did people break the law in the service of stealing or withholding the top secret documents? And if so, I hate to be old fashioned, Tommy, but does that in any way affect whether people think this person should be commander in chief again? Is that a fair thing to consider as part of the metric?
You're so polite about it. Yeah, it's a very fair thing to consider. You should not take highly classified documents and stuff them in your country club basement. And it seems like from the reporting we've all read about this incident that Trump or the people on his team might have lied about it. They might have moved documents after they were contacted by the FBI. They might have misled or lied to the FBI. There's a lot of layers of this that could get President Trump into a lot of trouble. And so, yeah, the January 6th investigations seem complicated and will maybe take a while. But this one, I mean, it seems like on the merits, the facts are pretty cut and dry that he shouldn't have had this stuff there.
Yeah, he definitely should have had this stuff. The best legal defense he has, and I say this again in fairness, is if you can erect an ignorance defense, you say, hey, I'm not U-Haul. I'm a busy president. I don't know what they took. And then I don't know why it was on the floor. And I don't know why they didn't tell you the right information about giving it back. You look like you want to respond to that. Go ahead.
I just think that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my bad. That's my bad. I should have said a name. Go, Tommy, and then Michelle respond. My bad.
Yeah, I just say that defense wouldn't fly in any court for anybody else. Michelle, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say that even that aside, I feel like that defense becomes a lot harder to make when you have ordered someone to move them into a different place when a subpoena has been served on you.
Exactly. And to Michelle's point, we know that high-level officials went down there. This is even before the now losing judge who tried to get special treatment with Trump. They did send high-level officials. They didn't want to escalate it with a search. That's how far they went. And by the way, people can debate that, but there are times where the DOJ says, we understand this special situation. If it's not just political, you could go to Brad Pitt's home and say, we understand how big a deal this will become. Work with us and we'll work with you. That's part of what they do. That, of course, as Michelle reminds us, was something that the Trump folks knowingly fought off. And now they're really paying for it and losing big in this breaking news case. We do have something of a bonus pod in mind, Tommy, and I hope you'll forgive all the pod humor, if you want to call it that, or non-humor, anti-humor, if it's not funny. But the bonus pod is I wanted to get you both on a big political story. So we're going to do our shortest break, 1 minute, and we come back as Obama is taking the stage down there in Georgia. Special guests and this politics story I'm going to tell you about in 1 minute.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Serious times call for special leaders. There aren't a lot of people in Washington like Reverend Warnock. And that's exactly why we need to send him back. This is going to be a close race, and we can't afford to get it wrong. So make your voice heard.
Obama, the closer in what used to be a pretty red state, Georgia, but not anymore. It's a Democratic incumbent here, Senator Warnock, who's in the runoff against Herschel Walker. Obama back in Georgia, as mentioned tonight. He's going to be taking the stage here momentarily. We also have our eye there. You can see the introduction to the president here. That's a rally in Atlanta. The early voting shows that even in what is this runoff, meaning people have to care about the one race because there's nothing else on the ballot. Well, apparently a lot of people do. I can tell you now we're reporting over 1 million people doing the early vote, which began Saturday. Obama has ripped into Walker when he was last in Georgia.
If a candidate's main qualification is that he's going to be loyal to Donald Trump, it means that he's not really going to be thinking about you and your needs. And you deserve better. Georgia deserves better. The only way to save democracy is if we together nurture it and fight for it. That starts with electing people who know you and see you and care about you.
And we are back with Obama White House veteran Tommy Vietor and New York Times columnist Michelle Goldberg, tracking more than one story. We led with that breaking news of a big Trump loss in court. Also, though, very big news. When you look at Tommy, at your former boss down there in Georgia tonight, what do you see in this race?
I mean, I hopefully see Senator Warnock surging ahead. We should just pause for a minute and say, like, he's an incredible U.S. senator. We are lucky to have that man in the U.S. Senate. He's deeply principled. He's inspiring. He's hopeful. He's like something we're really missing in our politics right now. And it does seem like he's got the momentum. Herschel Walker has stepped on every rake ever produced in the history of the state of Georgia. And I think what Obama is uniquely good at is attacking someone like Herschel Walker, who is manifestly unqualified for the job. Like, literally no one thinks this man should be in the U.S. Senate, and making that criticism in a way that is funny and sharp, but not mean sounding or too harsh in a way that turns off independent voters.
Yeah, I hear that. And Michelle, Walker has become sort of a whole site and allegory for the Republican Party's problems, as well as its a touchy relationship with Donald Trump, who doesn't seem to help many of these candidates, which is why apparently they don't want him down there after Trump had complicated Georgia for Republicans before. For your reaction, here's a little bit of an exchange with Walker on that point.
A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that?
Herschel, why is it that President Trump is not coming to have a rally in this last week before the final election day? And meanwhile, you got Obama campaigning with Warnock.
You know, President Trump has always been in my corner. He still is in my corner. And he's been doing other things for me. President Obama is a celebrity. And that seemed to be where Raphael Warnock is getting his money from, celebrities.
Michelle.
Look, I think it tells you a lot about sort of the, I think that the fact that Republicans don't want Donald Trump down there shows you the extent to which the most recent midterms, I think, have finally started to take some of the air out of Donald Trump's bubble, right? He didn't have, he lost the election in 2020, but because he was able to get everyone on board with the big lie, he didn't have people in the party kind of admitting even to themselves what a drag he is on their fortunes. But I think almost everybody is admitting that now. And, you know, it's his fault that Herschel Walker is the candidate in the first place, right? This was Donald Trump's handpicked candidate. And what an embarrassment for the Republican Party now, because at least before, during the general election, they could say, you know, vote for Herschel Walker to maintain Republican control of the Senate, right? Like, a vote for Herschel Walker is basically a vote for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Right now, all they can, you know, what they have no case that they can make for an affirmative vote for Herschel Walker. Nobody, you know, no matter how silver-tongued, could make a case for sort of why you want Herschel Walker to be your senator, as opposed to there's a very clear case for why you should want Raphael Warnock to be your senator.
Yeah, really all important points you both make. Tommy, while I have you, I want to ask you something else that overlaps with Georgia, but you look at 2 years into the Biden first term here, his presidency, outperformed in the midterms, has definitely used executive powers in certain ways earlier, given the intransigence in Washington, does not register as super popular in our current climate in the polling. But again, people point to the voting and the midterms as, well, more important than random polls. I'm curious, given that you came up with this Obama coalition and you've worked for both of these individuals, at this point in the presidency, per capita, pro rata, if you will, Tommy, do you think Biden is as good a president as Obama, whom you served? Less? Better?
Oh, my God. I will not take that question. I think President Biden has done an incredible job. He's an extraordinarily kind and decent and empathetic man. He has led this country in an unbelievably difficult time out of a pandemic. He's dealing with inflation. They passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which is like this historic investment in climate change. They passed the CHIP Act, this incredible China competitiveness bill. So he's got a record to run on. He's a great human being. And like Michelle was saying earlier, like,
as good as Obama? I'm just curious.
We'll find out. He hasn't been president for 8 years. You can't judge them. You can't judge them against each other. But like, Donald Trump has the stink of loser wafting off him. It's like when you would walk into an Abercrombie and Fitch in middle school and that Woods cologne would just punch you in the face. Like, Donald Trump reeks of loser. They can't even bring the guy to Georgia. He's an embarrassment. So, I mean, that is another great thing that I think Joe Biden has going for him if he runs again, that he will very likely run against Donald Trump, who is a gigantic loser and his own party doesn't even want to be seen with him. That's a good thing for the Democratic Party.
Clearly stated, first Abercrombie reference on this program that I'm aware of. I understand you don't want to pick between your political parents. I get that, although it's our job to ask the questions. Tommy, come by for one or two pods anytime. Michelle, one of our regulars, our favorites. Thanks for both of you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you guys. Let me tell everyone what's coming up, because this is one of those days where we, our team here on The Beat, has been working on something very special. I want to share it with you. It has to do with politics, with living history, including a lesson from Obama, and also something that sometimes we don't talk about as much in the news every night, which is the failures of American capitalism, its racist roots, but also a path of hope and success. I'm going to try to tie that all together. It's a special report we've been writing for you, and it's next.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
As every American knows from school or any sporting event, the national anthem is our Star-Spangled Banner, with that refrain touting America as the land of the free.
Banner yet to wave, or the land of the free.
The now familiar lyrics drawn from a poem written by an American lawyer, Francis Scott Key, about a victorious battle over the British. Like other exercises in patriotism, the anthem is really drummed into people as an unassailable good thing, a tribute to courage and freedom, and who could be against that? But the mythology is misleading. America was not the land of the free for many residents in the early 1800s. When slavery thrived, most people couldn't vote. The founders touted overthrowing British tyranny, but they abused power to rule over other human beings, often more harshly than the deplorable British that they bragged about supplanting. So when you hear land of the free, does it sound like just some harmless relic or a hypocritical lie laundered over and over to kind of tell us a mythology that covers up abuse to this very day? I mean, the answer might depend on your personal experience or your concern with discrimination and policy. And that brings us tonight to a contemporary poem about America and freedom called What's Free? It's actually marking an anniversary this week. It's a song with a verse by Jay-Z that opens by skewering those words.
In a land of the free where the blacks enslave, three-fifths of a man, I believe, is the phrase.
Jay-Z beginning his poem with those spare, haunting lines, comparing Francis Scott Key's claim with just the facts at the time. Slavery and a constitution that counted each black human being as three-fifths of a person, a notorious legal compromise that granted southern states extra political power in Congress for their slave populations. A gruesome accounting. This history lesson turns on property, and Jay-Z's poem uses different accounting to chart a generational path from people literally being treated as property to people becoming owners.
I'm 50% of Duce and it's debt free, yeah. 100% of Ace of Spade worth half a beat. Rock Nation, half of that, that's my piece. 100% of title to bust it up with my G's. Smoke some won't ever work together. You run a checker, but they never give you leverage.
Jay taking off companies he started or owns a piece of. Half the liquor company Duce with no debt, a contrast to America's many unpaid debts. All of his champagne company Ace of Spades at $500 million. That half a B, a double entendre reference to his wife Beyonce, who could presumably own half of it in their marriage. He cites his company Tidal, which is the only streaming music platform that tries to empower musician owners, different than Spotify or Apple or Amazon. There are levels of wealth, and the contrast here in the poem is between money and equity. So as Jay-Z decries people's failure to collaborate, he notes they could run a checkup, that's spending money, but the owners, they never offer leverage, which is the equity, the ownership that can bestow real power and freedom in our current society. They say power concedes nothing without a demand, and capitalism is economic power. Those owners, they're not giving you leverage, no matter how hard you work. Most workers toil for wages in America with no path to any equity, and that's especially true in the arts and culture and music, where the people creating the value are often stuck in systems that deny them ownership of what they literally made. Now, what do you call using power to compel labor without valuing it fairly? Well, at a minimum, I'd say that's on the spectrum of oppression, economic or otherwise. This poem I'm sharing with you suggests America's sins live on, including a slave-owning mentality of some capitalists. And Jay-Z uses his words here to address them directly and then stunts on them.
I ain't one of these house you bought. My house like a resort. My house bigger than yours.
A rebuke to anyone with that mentality. It echoes also a classic Malcolm X speech that contrasts the evil slavery system's categories of house and field. But those lines are not rhetoric. They are a factual confrontation because Jay-Z is putting those capitalist suits, if you will, putting them in their place, flipping that house terminology to note the fact that his homes are literally larger than theirs, like a giant resort. So if you're not listening, you might mishear the line as just bragging about another mansion when it's actually a reference to how America's property system is built on a racist foundation. Now, in one lifetime, Jay-Z built his property fortune, dwarfing most of the nation's top execs, even though many of them had the head start of generational wealth amassed in a time when Black Americans were legally classified as property. Now, this poem continues by confronting slavery's vestiges today.
To this day, Grandma afraid what I might say. They're gonna have to kill me, Grandmama. I'm not their slave.
There, he's rebutting the idea anyone could scare him, let alone own him, but juxtaposing that with the life experience of his own grandmother, whose name is Hattie White. She was born in 1926, we checked. She faced the Jim Crow era, lived through the assassination of so many Black leaders in America, so her concern would be understandable. But think about the echo of history here, especially at a time of rising hate in America right now and political violence. Jay stressing not that she lived that life before, but that she fears for him, for his safety in America, quote, to this day. Meaning her past lives on now. Because it's not really past. As another writer, William Faulkner, once put it.
The past isn't dead and buried. In fact, it isn't even past.
That was Barack Obama citing an artistic truth that animates in our politics. If you want progress, we have to face the facts of our history, which they keep lying on today. Land of the free? How long are we going to hear that? So what's free? That's the name of this song. And Jay-Z explores the question by spotlighting workers today stuck in systems that are, well, they're not near free.
Look at my hair free, carefree. This ain't near free. Enjoy your chains. What's your employer name with the hairpiece?
That invokes a long history of Black Americans facing pressure to make their appearance somehow more white. Malcolm X details it in his autobiography. It's covered in that film of the same name. Jay says he's carefree, which is literally he's carefree, feeling his success and freedom, but it's a double entendre for the hair relaxer product. He mentions the other one as well, Nair, which is a contrast, his current natural hairstyle that he chooses to wear, to the social pressure and workplace control that pushes people to conform their hair, their identity, their lives. Those lines I mentioned, they also conjure the image of chains, which extends the slavery allegory to today's tools of control, economic and otherwise. Chains also a reference to the jewelry that some men wear to flout wealth. Those withering three words, enjoy your chains, packs a punch within the wider story he's telling. And that history lesson continues.
We started without food in our mouth. They gave us pork and pig intestines. You discarded that we ingested. We made the project a wave. You came back, reinvested and gentrified it. Took a surprise. Now how that's free. And the people stole the soul and hit stupid 360s.
The parallels there turn on value. He's describing slave owners presenting their unwanted and discarded animal parts as meals, which morphed into its own cuisine, sometimes linked to soul food. You have many people who abandoned diversifying neighborhoods in America. They saw them as undesirable through white flight and redlining and other policies, only to return after minority residents made those places valuable or cool, a wave. And then they used the same legal and property system to gentrify and price out the people who made those neighborhoods valuable. The theme here is how in America, so many black people have had to meet that systemic discrimination with their own kind of improvised alchemy. What oppressors treat as garbage might still be turned somehow into gold. When that happens in the neighborhood, though, Jay is telling us the oppressors then come back and try to take it. The question is, what's free amidst all that theft? Those lines also link soul food and the commodification of black-led culture by slamming the executives who stole the soul, which is a Public Enemy reference, the execs who locked many artists into predatory contracts, then denying them ownership, the theme here, sometimes in deals so unfair that courts will call them unconscionable and unenforceable. Some of the worst contracts today are 360 deals where corporations have control of all the proceeds from an artist's work, even beyond music. That's a 360. So what's free when the owners are the thieves and the creators are stuck in a 360? We'll come back to that. Now, I began this report for you tonight with that myth about the land of the free. And this poem I'm sharing with you ends with another myth that's actually rarely questioned across most of U.S. history, maybe a little bit recently, depending on who you talk to. I'm talking about our Thanksgiving ritual, which is actually a very literal whitewashing of our history and reality. Well, he challenges it in this song, which came out, by the way, in the month of November.
Sucker free, no shucking me. I don't jive turkey. I say happy Thanksgiving. Sound like a murder to me. Smoke free, all of y'all calling out toll free. Label rob you for millions, yet you want to put a hole in me.
He's talking about independence. Financially, Jay says he does not shuck and jive for anyone. He's an owner. He flips that into saying he's no phony jive turkey and folds that into another type of independence, intellectual. No matter how many holidays we are sold, capitalistically or at school or anywhere else, he's just not down with Thanksgiving turkey or celebrating a genocide. So those holiday greetings sound like a murder to me. The challenge here, as always, is to think originally and see reality, not the self-serving myths designed to obscure it. This poem shows the reality of property in American law and capitalism. From where America started, literally owning people as property, to controlling people today through their labor, to taking ownership of their work, stealing it so it's someone else's property. Now, Jay-Z says for him, freedom means owning whole companies rather than companies owning pieces of you. 100% a title. Notice that word whole. He laments people resenting him more than the larger system, imagining telling another artist the record label rob you for millions, yet you want to put a hole in me. Millions lifted from the 360 deal he cited before. That bullet hole is a circle. Holes are 360 degrees, like a 360 deal. While Jay just showed his freedom comes from being financially whole, owning his whole companies, his whole creations. That's 360, three layers of meaning, triple entendre. Don't even ask me how. And that, what I've shared with you in this report, is just part of the whole verse, as it were. The poetry is as layered as the history, the poet's perseverance, a living lesson. And those who don't get it may not be listening. If you can't see why America was not the land of the free, or how Native American genocide is still disguised as a feast, you may have closed your eyes and your mind instead of listening. What's free? It's a very long answer. But it starts with freeing your mind. Democrats still run Congress, and that's why the January 6th committee has still been doing interviews, as we've reported this week. They also have crunch time to get the final report out. Meanwhile, the expected incoming Republican majority, which may be led by McCarthy, is warning the committee that when they take power, they might do a whole reinvestigation of their own. Congresswoman Lofgren said this in response.
I have no idea what Kevin is thinking, you know, that somehow they're going to seize the records. Well, that's not going to be necessary because we're going to publish everything.
Really interesting point there, because sometimes investigations, like at the DOJ, you don't get the underlying materials. But what she's saying is true. The chairman says they're going to put out a final report before Christmas, but also release most, if not all, of the interview transcripts and other materials, which will be a goldmine for many people interested in the facts. Committee members are having a meeting tomorrow about potential criminal referrals. As we've covered, the DOJ has already indicted and Steve Bannon is heading to jail from past contempt proceedings, which are like referrals. And as a reminder and a disclosure, I'm working on a foreword to the HarperCollins edition of the January 6th committee's full report. Now, it's coming soon. Like I told you, by Christmas, the committee says. You can order it right now, the January 6th report. Search Melber January 6th on Amazon or wherever you get your books, or go to melberbook.com. When we come back, we have an update on the story that crossed wires right as we were coming on air. A big loss in court for Trump in the Mar-a-Lago case. No more special master. That's next. Turning to a newsmaking interview, former Secretary of State and presidential candidate Hillary Clinton just spoke with our colleague, Alicia Menendez, about a lot of things. Georgia runoff, January 6th, and Republican promises after they get the gavel to do investigations.
How does this generation of Democrats contrast their vision, what it is they want to do for America, with the political stunts that Republicans are offering?
I think that's a great question. And I think our side of the aisle can do a better job in continuously pointing out the differences. We need every Democrat on the Hill to be literally on social media, broadcast media, in print, any way you can communicate, constantly saying, here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to give you this shiny object over here. Investigations, which, you know what, never end up doing anything, as I am Exhibit A of.
You can see that entire interview with all the news Saturday on American Voices and MSNBC at 6 p.m. Eastern from our friend and colleague Alicia Menendez. Certainly relevant as people are eyeing what Republicans will do with their power. Now, I told you we've covered a bunch of different topics tonight, including that story that led breaking news when we got the handoff from Nicole about Trump losing big. No more special master in this case. I have more on that breaking legal news story when we come back. Breaking legal news late today. Donald Trump is the loser in the Mar-a-Lago case about the special master. There's been a lot of back and forth, but this is the big climactic ending, an appeals court ending the entire special master review of the allegedly stolen documents found at Mar-a-Lago. A three-judge panel, which includes two judges that Donald Trump himself happened to appoint, ruled there should be no special master whatsoever. Donald Trump doesn't get one anymore, and the Justice Department should continue its prosecution probe as it sees fit with no other meddling. The ruling says we can't write a rule that allows the subject of a search warrant, that's Trump, to, quote, block government investigations after the execution of a warrant. They say the dismissal of the entire proceeding is required, and, of course, the execution of a warrant, what the court is saying there is a judge signed off on this, that's bad for Trump, and he doesn't get to second guess it after that point. I'm joined now on the breaking story by someone who knows Florida law well. Dave Ehrenberg is state attorney for Palm Beach County. Can you hear me? Welcome back.
Great to be with you, Ari.
Great. I appreciate you jumping on the line. That's how you know it's one of these breaking news hours. We had some analysis on this at the top of the hour, but for folks who are just catching the news and for your view of it, given that there was so much back and forth, tell us in plain English what this ruling means to you.
This is a smackdown. It says that Judge Cannon should never have exercised jurisdiction over this matter. Remember, Judge Cannon is in a county that's two counties away, 68 miles from West Palm Beach. She inserted herself into this case when it was in the hands of Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhardt. But that's what Trump's legal team wanted. They wanted her on this case. She took jurisdiction, and then she gave them everything they wanted, including a special master, including a stay of the proceedings. And the appellate court said, no, no, no. You have no jurisdiction here. You should not have appointed the special master. You should not have delayed the investigation because this sets a bad precedent. And Donald Trump doesn't get special privileges because he's a former president.
Yeah, you know, Dave, you put it out very clearly. This is a complete and total loss and rebuke to the Trump legal strategy here. I'm a little bit reminded of the old saying, this whole court's out of order. Because here you have a bipartisan set of appointees saying that that lower court went rogue, that Trump loses. What does it mean now for the open case, which, as I think most of our viewers know, we've been reporting on it, is now under the auspices of this new Garland-appointed special counsel?
It means that Donald Trump is going to go through some things. It means that this case is game on. This was one of the big delays for the Justice Department. The only delay left is that Trump is certain to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I say that there is a 0% chance they're going to affect this ruling. Remember, the 11th Circuit is not the 9th Circuit from California. This is not Judge Antifa. These are conservative judges who rebuked Judge Cannon for stepping in here. Because if you allow a judge to step in, that means all of us prosecutors are at risk of having our investigations pre-indictment being shelved by a judge. That makes no sense. And for a judge like Judge Cannon, who's supposed to be pro-law and order, she certainly channeled her inner Saul Goodman here, you know, and that's why the three judges said no way.
Dave, your references are on fire. You're on the phone, but if you could see me, you'd get a legal smile because you're making sense. A huge rebuke to Trump. With about 20 seconds left for you, do you see it more or less likely or no difference whether there will be any charges coming out of this probe?
I think what this does is it speeds up the charges. I have felt that Trump will be indicted for the documents matter. Now that this is out of the way, that's one more obstacle gone. I think charges will be coming at some point after the runoff.
Dave Ehrenberg, Palm Beach County State Attorney, knows that area well and the law well. Jumping on the phone on a breaking story. Thank you, Dave. Again, if you're joining us here on The Beat, this was a story that crossed right before we came on the air. A total loss for Donald Trump. No more special master review in the documents case. Mr. Ehrenberg, who is a decorated veteran lawyer, you heard him just say in a very newsworthy way, he might expect charges in this case. I will remind everyone that no charges have yet been filed in the documents case. The special counsel is overseeing it. There have been questions about whether lawyers or anyone else working for Trump have misled the government. He's presumed innocent, but there was a lot of smoke around what the DOJ calls stolen top secret documents. Appreciate you spending time with us. We had a packed show, including that breakdown of American capitalism and the poem and song by Jay-Z. I'll tell you, you can find me online at Ari Melber. If there is a song about policy, law, history that you think we should break down, tell me at Ari Melber. It could be Dylan, could be Bob Marley, could be Rolling Stones. Tell me your thoughts on what we did tonight or nominations for other breakdowns.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.